keeping it real. And last week, we looked at our Father who art in heaven and saw that some people gave names to their children. Yes, I do. Good. We saw last week that people wanted their children to be reminded they had a heavenly Father who knows and helps and gives freely. He's glorious. He's above all. And today we're going to look at the next phrase, keeping it real, the name worth promoting, the name worth promoting. And we say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That name is going to be worth promoting. Holy is your name. Sanctified is your name. We live in an age where promoting a name is very important. Promoting your brand is the key to success. I like this little quip from Oscar Wilde who said, be yourself because everyone else is taken. It sums up one of the most important tenets of personal branding. All strong brands are based upon what's true and genuine and real. And so when I say the names Apple and Google, Facebook, Amazon, most of you, if not all of you, say, yeah, I know those organizations. They have names that stand for excellence in their respective fields. And they're household names because they've delivered on their promises. Their name can be trusted. Maybe, I don't know about Google and Facebook. It sounds like they're doing some things that are not the best for our rights. But when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we should be filled with a perfect trust. A name above all names. If you aren't impressed with the trustworthiness of the name of God, I'm excited you're here today. Very excited you're here. You need to take this message. And those of you who know this are going to be renewed in your minds and your lives. Hallowed be your name simply means that God's name is to be actively promoted for what it is. That name that is above every name. I like when God had called Moses and to represent him to the Egyptians to see his people delivered from the Egyptians. And Moses says, but who am I going to tell? Send me. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Well, he doesn't leave him there, though. He goes on, he says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord, and that word there is the tetragrammaton, in meaning it's four consonants. And we derive the word Jehovah from those four Hebrew consonants. The Lord, or Jehovah, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Well, that's for a long time, isn't it? And this is my memorial to all generations. So it's important for us to begin and to hear that God establishes his name right from the beginning with Moses and the nation of Israel. There's a lot of uncertainty on the pronunciation of the word, the name Jehovah, and it's partially due to the reason because the rabbis had said you should not speak the name of God, Jehovah, that tetragrammaton. And yet, this name Jehovah is written almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament. Well, how many times is it translated as Jehovah in the Old Testament? The King James is the Bible that has translated it the most into its original name, Jehovah. 7 times out of almost 7,000 times. That's an incredible thing. I like Psalm 83:18, that men shall know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. And so this is one of the almost 7,000 times that it is the Tetragrammaton, and it's one of the seven times here in the Old Testament that the King James scholars said, we're going to translate it the way it should be, Jehovah. Well, the original 1611 edition of the King James Version actually contained the name of Jehovah an eighth time. Although not as part of the main text of the Bible translation, they placed it on the title page. And, you know, when you look at this title page, it's a little fuzzy here. You're not going to see what I'm showing. But at the very, very top, there is the Tetragrammaton that is written on the title page. And it's written in the clouds. And you have the moon and the sun up there. And then just below that, you have the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the dove. And then below that, you'll have the Lamb and the cross. And that is at the pinnacle of this picture. And they wanted to communicate God's holy name above all. It's just a fascinating thought process that these guys had, and giving recognition to the name of Jehovah. Well, you might be asking, why is it that the King James scholars only put seven times, only translated it seven times? Well, the scholars who originally translated this Bible into English were taught Hebrew by Jewish rabbis. And it was in accordance with the ban that the rabbis had placed upon naming or saying the name of God. And that's what the rabbis said. Please, don't do that. But in seven places, they said, we need to be able to do that. Most Jews called God Adonai, Lord. And that's why it's translated Lord in most of the passages. Over the centuries, most Jews have been taught that the way to sanctify the Almighty name is by not speaking it. And they often refer to the third commandment for that. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And when they say the Lord, that word Lord is Jehovah. Don't take Jehovah, your God, in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And yet, when we go through the scriptures, we see there's no biblical prohibition of speaking the name of God. In Deuteronomy, okay, there, what are we having a problem here? All right. In Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear Jehovah your God, you shall worship him, and in his name you shall swear. Very important to hear that. In his name you shall swear. In other words, you shall declare that he is your God. You shall declare you are living for him. You shall declare before all the world that he is the one you are surrendered to. Now that is promoting the name of God very clearly. In Jeremiah we see that, and it shall be, if they will learn carefully the ways of my people to swear by my name, as the Lord Jehovah lives. Now, the people around Israel swore in the name of their gods. They said, by Baal, I am living. By Baal, I have life. And so they're acknowledging it was another God. But he is saying here, Jeremiah is saying that as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. If they're willing to say, Jehovah is my God. He is the one who gives life. I look to no one else. We see also in Ruth chapter 2, verse 4, Boaz greeting harvesters, may the Lord, and there again, it's Jehovah, may Jehovah bless you. So it was a common everyday greeting. They weren't afraid of using the name of Jehovah, the name of God. And so all of us need to look at this, the Old Testament, and realize, wow, almost 7,000 times this name is used, and yet it's not translated that way. And so you can go to the King James Concordance, one of the concordances for the King James Bible, look up Lord, and you'll see how many times that's translated as Jehovah. Well, there in 1 Kings in chapter 8, here we see that there's no reason to ban the name of speaking the name of Jehovah. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, they've come because they've heard the name of Jehovah promoted. Those of you who are taking the evangelism class, you're going to learn to promote the name of Jehovah, Jesus. And we're going to see that connection at the end of this message. But you're going to be promoting the name above every name. But has come from a far country, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward this temple. Rahab heard of the God of Israel, and she told the spies, she says, we've heard of you. Your God is greater than all the other gods. And that is what the people who are coming from a far distance, they've heard of the God of Israel, and they want to worship him. They hear, so Solomon is dedicating the temple, and he is saying, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you. Isn't that amazing? That Israel should have understood all people are welcome to the God of Israel. Solomon understood it, that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name, Jehovah. That is the name that it's been called by. It's clear that the name of God, Jehovah, should not only be pronounced, but promoted over and over and over again. I like Psalm 148. Let them praise the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah. Let them praise his name, for his name alone is exalted, for his glory is above the earth and the heaven. Last week we saw names were given to children to remind them of the characteristics of their Heavenly Father, and we reviewed that a little. Today I want you to know that people named their children to remind them of who Jehovah is. Isn't that amazing? I like it. Jehoshaphat. You don't think of Jehoshaphat as Jehovah, but the first four letters is a contraction of the name Jehovah. And so his parents, the parents of Jehoshaphat, wanted him to be reminded, Jehoshaphat judges. He's the one who is over all. Jehovah is exalted. Jehovah gives. Jehovah knows. And this is similar to some of the other names that were given to the Father. But these were names that were given to these young people. Can you imagine? What's your name? Well, my name is Jehoshaphat. And the person would know, wow, Jehovah judges. A reminder to everyone. And that's a powerful, powerful moment when you hear that. Well, in Numbers 13:16, we see that the parents of Hosea didn't do a good job of naming him. So Moses had to rename their son. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, and it's abbreviated to Joshua, but he wanted it to communicate something different, and that something different was that Hosea says he saves. That's all it says, he saves. So the parents were naming their son Hoshea and saying, you know what, people are going to know, you're a great man, you save. You're going to have the sense of saving people, of taking care of people. And Moses says, you know what? You got a part of it right. But really, I don't want Joshua to think he has anything to do with it. He doesn't. It's Jehovah that saves. And so God was tapping Joshua's life for great, great leadership and a great victory there in the Promised Land. But he didn't want him to be confused about it in any way. He says, it's not you. That must have been a powerful moment when now Moses declares to everyone, his name no longer is Hosea. It is Jehoshua. It's Joshua. It is that Jehovah saves. Joshua's not going to do this for us. He is going to follow Jehovah who brings salvation. So it's important for us to understand that. Now we're going to get into the connection here of how the Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, is going to be connected to the name Jehovah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. He's speaking of the Messiah. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. And so this Messiah is now being proclaimed. He is now being prophesied about. And in his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah. That's the name that he's going to be called by, Jehovah our righteousness. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jehovah the Father, Jehovah the Son, Jehovah the Holy Spirit. It is the name that is above every name. And so we see this connection now. This is helping us to understand. We have to understand Jesus as Jehovah, worthy of all praise and honor and worship. And that's why when I think of Jehovah Witnesses saying, oh no, Jesus can't be God. And then you have passages that are saying, he is, this Messiah is promised as Jehovah, our righteousness. He is God come in the flesh. Well, another way to see that the Messiah is given the name Jehovah is to note Old Testament passages in which Jehovah is used. And if you look at Psalm 102, you're going to see that Hebrews chapter 1, starting with verse 10, quotes it. Refers and quotes Psalm 102, and it says, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. Well, this passage in Psalm 102 is referring to Jehovah. It's naming Jehovah, and it's saying the Messiah is Jehovah. It is specifically there saying, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth. And so the writers of the New Testament understood this, and there's other passages too. I like the other names that we see through the scripture, Jehovah our peace, there in Judges chapter 6, and Jehovah my shepherd, from Psalm 23, and then Jehovah our righteousness, as we just saw. These are passages that need to be in our mind, need to be in our hearts. This is who I am worshiping. This is who I am proclaiming. This is who I am promoting. Jehovah is my peace. People ask you at times, don't they? How can you be so at peace in the midst of all these problems around you? Well, Jehovah is my peace. My Savior, Jesus, is my peace. He's given me perfect peace that passes all understanding. And so you're promoting his name. You're speaking out his name. If it has made a difference in your life, you're not going to talk about the name Jehovah, Jesus, if he has not made a difference in your life. But you're going to want to promote him. I want to take a look at three of the names that we're familiar with, and Jehovah Jireh, we are going to sing that in a moment, these names, but Jehovah will provide. And there in Genesis, we see that Abraham is going to sacrifice his son Isaac, and God stops him and realizes, you know what? No, you fear me. I understand that you really fear me and that you love me more than your son. And so he stops Abraham from sacrificing his son, and he provides a ram for a sacrifice caught in the bushes. And Abraham called the name of the place the Lord, and the word there is Jehovah will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. It shall be. And that is looking forward. Abraham knew that he would raise up a Savior someday when we look in Hebrews chapter 11. But here we can have that great joy. When I need a sacrifice, God has provided. God has provided his son Jesus Christ to be the ultimate sacrifice. If he provides for the ultimate sacrifice, if he provides for the greatest need of your life that no one else can meet, no one else can come along and meet this need in your life of being washed from all your sins and all of your guilt being gone. I love with Easy Zwain when he was saying, there is no other place to look to but Jesus. He is the one that can give you forgiveness, even if you have aborted a child. This is the right place for you to be. You can gain complete freedom because Jehovah has provided the sacrifice for your sin, no matter how great, no matter how big, no matter how terrible it is. You're in the right place. You might have been saying to yourself, oh, why did I have to come and hear about this? Because there is forgiveness, and there's cleansing, and there's tremendous freedom. And it is a wonderful, wonderful. And my wife has worked with many ladies in helping them understand how to gain this freedom and how to become guilt-free before the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're interested in that, just ask for my wife. And you can talk to her in private. Everything is completely confidential. Everything. And so you can speak to her, and believe me, she'll get you into a group with herself and some other ladies, hopefully, that you can deal with this issue the same as they've dealt with this issue, or they're dealing with it. You're all going to be in the same experience, and you're going to have in your mind, Jehovah provides. There's nothing lacking in being able to minister to that pain and minister to that loss and minister to that guilt that is in your heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of that. So I want to encourage you to make sure you have in your mind, look, Jehovah Jireh. We want to say, oh yeah, he provides for all of my needs every day. He can do that easily. Why? Because he has provided for your salvation. But if you do not have it clear that he has provided for your salvation, then you're going to have a hard time believing for all your other needs. You have to have that clear. We'll see here, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah that heals. And a lot of people want to believe that it's the healing of their body, but it's the next step of the healing of the soul. Jehovah provides a perfect sacrifice. If you receive that, he heals you. Jehovah heals. There in Exodus 15, 26, he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought upon Egypt. None of the diseases. What were the diseases he's referring to? He's referring to the plagues. This is incredible when we look at this. For I am the Lord Jehovah who heals you. I'm the one who keeps you from these diseases. Once you receive my provision of sacrifice, I will continually heal and minister in your life. When I look at, let me just see this. The Lord who heals you. If you come to a place in your life where you say, you know what, I believe God is gone. I don't believe he's working in my life. Go back to Jehovah Jireh and ask, did he really provide the sacrifice? Did I really receive the sacrifice he provided for me? Because Jehovah heals. Now, in Scripture, in 1 Peter chapter 2, we see that Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live in righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter says, this does not have to do with your physical healing. What he's referring to is Isaiah 53, and then back to this passage. Jehovah is the one who is going to heal you from the disease of being in rebellion against God. The Egyptians, think of the first plague, and then look through all the plagues, right to the last one where their firstborn was killed. The first plague, the waters were turned to blood. And what happened? The fish died. And everything was stinking, wasn't it? The fish died. Why? They were diseased. And God says, I'm not going to put those diseases on you if you accept me as the one who heals your sin and heals your brokenness in your life. If you continually look to me, you're not going to have these diseases on your life. But that's where you can become very arrogant. You can say, oh, you know what? I'm just sick and tired of going back to God. You know, he doesn't want to hear me. I don't know what to do, and I'm just going to try to live my life the best I can. You are going to miss God as your healer, Jehovah as the one who heals you of all that guilt. Most mental problems today are because people are trying to handle guilt on their own. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with that. He will be the one that heals your mind and heals your soul so that you'll be able to approach life with freedom and with joy and with peace in your life. This last one here, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah is present. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Jehovah is there. And this is the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel, and it's talking about this issue of God's presence for Israel. They've been disciplined terribly. And he says, but we have a hope. The Messiah is going to come. And he is going to be our presence. When it says Jehovah is there, Jehovah will be present. Jehovah is present with you and with me. When we receive that provision through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and we walk each and every day, Jehovah's healing me today. Jehovah is cleansing me. Jehovah is working in my life. He won't stop working to cleanse and to work in my life and to keep me in his righteousness because he is present with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. There in Isaiah 57, for thus says the Lord, high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And if you stopped right there, you'd say, oh, wow, he dwells in the high and holy place. He's so far away from me. But it doesn't stop there. And with him also that is of a contrite and humble heart, humble spirit. That is who he is with. He is, O our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your name needs to be promoted. And one of your names is that you're present, you're close to those who are humble and contrite of spirit. God opposes the proud, but what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. He gives his presence. He gives his strength to those who humbly walk in his presence and say, Lord, I need your work in my life. Lord, I've sinned today. Please cleanse me. He's there to minister to you. But if you just say, I don't want to deal with it. And you mentally or spiritually try to cover it up, you're cutting off his presence. But the moment you say, I'm wrong, he's there. The minute you say you're wrong, he's there. Isn't that amazing? You have in your mind, I've said that I was sorry to somebody or that I was wrong and they didn't want to hear it. They just blew me off. They said, I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, maybe that's the way God responds to me. No. He is present with those who are humble and contrite of spirit to revive the spirit of the humble. Why do you need reviving? Because it's gotten old. It's gotten ugly. It's gotten broken down. I love the work that my son is doing on this 1965 Ford Falcon. He's reviving it. When he got it, it was all broken down and rusted and holes in the floor and whatever. He's working at reviving it, making it just like brand new. Well, God can do a whole lot work better than that. God is doing his work of creation once again, recreation in our lives each and every day when we humble ourselves and he revives us, revives the heart of the contrite ones. Well, who are you? Who are you going to be? Are you going to promote the name of Jehovah, Jesus, the name above every name? Because he is the one who has provided for you the perfect sacrifice on the cross? Are you going to proclaim him? I was once lost in my sin. It's so easy for me to give my testimony because I remember how I was dead in my murderous heart. I was dead because I was filled with anger and hatred in my heart. And God came along and convicted me and showed me how wicked I really was and gave me an opportunity to cry out in repentance and faith. And when I did that, I was able to love. I was able to love my stepfather who was a preacher in the pulpit and then during the week did things that no preacher should have ever done in a million years. And yet he gave me a love for this man. That was a miracle. I could have never done it on my own. So I want to promote the name of Jesus to everyone. I come across people who are angry and hateful in their heart toward people who have hurt them. And I can share, Jesus can change that. He changed it in my life. I remember being like you. Jesus is the only one who can do it because he provided payment for that wicked heart through being sacrificed on the cross and shedding his blood. He is the one who will walk beside you. He'll be ever present, healing you, Jehovah Rapha. And then he's going to be the one who is going to be present with you, Jehovah Shammah. He will never leave you. You'll never be stranded to try to figure this life out on your own. You now have not only the Heavenly Father, but the Son who has provided everything that you need and will be ever present to bring healing again and again and again into your life, renewing you and reviving you. How can you not promote that name? How can you not get excited about that name? Because maybe you just have forgotten or you haven't personally surrendered to him. I want to encourage you today, don't miss out on being brought under the conviction of your need of the sacrifice that he provided and the healing that you need from him, and that the only people he's going to draw close to and be present with are those who are humble and contrite, meaning, Lord, I've offended you. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. I'm filled with greed. Lord, I haven't worshipped you as the only God of this universe. I've made gods of my own image, in my own imagination. Oh God, I've offended you. I've trashed you, the holy God of this universe. And you come under conviction. You are ready for Jehovah Jireh. You are ready for Jehovah Rapha. You're ready for Jehovah Shammah. Embrace humble yourself and embrace what Jesus has provided for you. Then you will be excited about promoting His name. There is no other name that can match it. None. None. You cry out. You go home. You close the door on your room. And you cry out to Jesus and say, "Oh Lord Jesus, work in my life. I want to be able to be free to promote the name above every name." Don't miss out on it. Father, I ask, oh, that this truth of your wonderful name would be deep into all of our hearts. I thank you for this, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.